Armed citizens are setting up patrols across the country as law enforcement in far-left cities collapses. In this video, we're going to take a look at how armed residents are stepping into the gap left by our feckless liberal democratic leaders, all the while Democrat-run cities continue to completely implode into societal ruin. You're not going to want to miss this one. Greetings, everyone. Dr. Steve here with you. Great to be with you as always. A warm welcome to all of our new visitors. If this is your first time here with us and you're looking for some daily encouragement and optimism in the midst of all the nonsense that's spewed out from our left-wing Marxist media, you have found your oasis in this channel. We analyze current events. It allows some super awesome conservative trends so we can all live in the present in light of even better things to come. So if you haven't already done so, you know what to do. Make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. It'd be an absolute privilege to have you. It's a regular part of this channel where each and every day we get to celebrate together the inevitable collapse of left-wing globalism and the unstoppable rise of a new conservative age. How does that sound? All right, gang, let's dive right in here. Really, what's been going on in our nation's cities is nothing short of an utter and complete tragedy. But the tragedy, as it turns out, is not the societal rot that our cities have been experiencing for some time now. No, as it turns out, the tragedy is the Democrat Party itself, which has single-handedly destroyed virtually every one of our nation's cities. The Democratic Party has a monopoly over all of the major cities that are falling apart. Do you remember when the left-wing Marxist media actually tried to contradict President Trump's assertion that all the cities that are currently rotting are all under Democrat rule? Do you remember that? It was so utterly cringeworthy. The Washington Post actually ran a story complaining. They were whining that the president keeps claiming that the most dangerous cities in America are all run by Democrats, but they're not. He's wrong. Trump is wrong. Those rotting degenerated cities in our nation, they are emphatically not all run by Democrats. That's not true. Stop saying that. These leftist activists disguised as journalists at the Washington Post actually ran this article. And what did it do? Well, Trump said that you look at the 20 most violent, horrific, dilapidated cities in the nation. They're all 20 are run by Democrats. 20 out of 20. The cities are a disaster precisely because Democrats are a disaster. And so this left-wing activist disguised as a journalist over at the Washington Post tried to prove Trump wrong. And so what he did is he compiled a list of the 20 most violent cities in the nation, according to FBI statistics, which showed cities with the most violent crime in total, as well as the most violent crime per capita. And the article listed out city after city after city after city. And they were virtually all run by Democrats. Of the top 20 most violent cities outright, 17 of them are run by Democrats. Two by independents, although I'm sure the city councils are dominated by Democrats. And only one, Jacksonville, Florida, was run by Republicans. When the Washington Post examined the data of violence per capita, none of the 20 most violent cities had a Republican government. Not one. And yet, these cultural Marxists of the Washington Post thought that they were debunking Trump. So obviously the Post got ruthlessly mocked by other journalistic outfits. I mean, it was just silly. But it is true, as President Trump said, that if you encounter a city that is dilapidated and in total disrepair and ruin, that's infested with violence and poverty and drug abuse and rats, you could be virtually guaranteed that you have encountered a Democrat-run city. And so it's no wonder that we're beginning to see the emergence of armed citizens patrolling their neighborhoods in the wake of far-left Democrat city councils defunding their police. We're getting a number of reports that residents, particularly in Minneapolis, are indeed forming neighborhood watches and armed security groups to protect their neighborhoods in the wake of all the societal violence and unrest following the killing of George Floyd back in May. Minneapolis, of course, was ground zero for all of this insanity, which included the Minneapolis City Council unanimously voting to abolish the Minneapolis Police Department. Well done, guys. And what's so interesting in all of this is while their Democratic politicians are continuing to destroy their city by defunding the police, The NAACP has actually called on black gun owners to patrol mostly African-American neighborhoods like the West Broadway Business District. And so a group called the Minnesota Freedom Fighters, which advocates for black gun ownership, has largely become the de facto law enforcement in a number of Minneapolis neighborhoods. Now, all of this is in response, obviously, to the fact that crime simply hasn't surged in Minneapolis. I mean, it obviously has. Crime has spiked exponentially throughout the city. There were 75 shootings in June alone, which is a 300% increase from the same time last year. In July, shootings doubled, almost doubled from the same time last year. No, crime certainly has spiked, but it's not just that. As many are noticing, it's not merely surging crime rates that's spurring the citizens to take up arms. It's the fact that Minneapolis is, for all practical purposes, socially and politically imploded. It's collapsed. And one of the evidences of that is the surge in what are called daylight crimes, the stealing of cars, breaking and entering into property, all happening in the light of day, which means that people no longer fear any sense of reprisal or law enforcement against throughout the city against them. So the city's basic social structure is imploded. And so we're seeing the rise of armed citizen groups like Minnesota Freedom Fighters standing in the gap to protect and defend some semblance of social stability and law and order. But it's not just Minneapolis. Now, we reported in another video that armed militia groups are surging throughout the nation in response to this civil unrest. The Guardian recently featured a brand new militia group starting in Utah, and they're actually policing Black Lives Matter protests and demonstrations to make sure they don't get out of hand. I mean, think about that one. The Utah's Citizens Alarm is only a month old, but already it boasts over 15,000 members. They wear military fatigues, carry assault weapons, and make it very, very clear to protesters that things better not get out of hand. And they're having quite the effect. In fact, recently, their very presence caused a far-left organization called Insurgency USA to cancel one of their protests because they were so freaked out at the presence of Utah's Citizens Alarm. In Washington State, home of Seattle's failed Marxist experience, forever known as Chaz Autonomous Zone, armed militias are becoming a common sight whenever far leftists gather to demonstrate and protest. And it's so pathetically funny because you have the left-wing activists disguised as journalists, okay, these hecklers disguised as reporters, actually questioning whether or not these militias are doing what they're doing is legal. Now think about that, because you have Black Lives Matter, right? It's been engaged in mass lawlessness throughout the nation, destroying monuments, torching businesses, defacing property, causing hundreds of millions of dollars in damage, not to mention violating those all-important non-negotiable mask mandates we heard about, right? Don't forget that. You have this utterly mass lawlessness swell across the nation, and these leftist Marxists disguised as journalists want to inquire as to whether armed militias showing up at protests are legal or not. I mean, it's insane. It's insane, and it's precisely why these armed residents are surging throughout the nation in the first place. We now know we cannot depend on leftist liberals to protect us. We emphatically now know that. And so we're going to have to protect ourselves in conjunction and cooperation with law enforcement officers who have also been thrown under the bus by the far left. And the good news is that in the midst of all the societal rot that is the Democrat Party, and it is the inevitable consequence of anywhere they hold a monopoly like our nation's cities, the good news is that responsible citizens throughout the nation are indeed rising up to stand in the gap of our feckless far-left leaders. And as such, they are assuming the mantle of true leadership for the restoration of law and order in our nation. Now, before you go, you will definitely want to check out my latest video. I just uploaded it on the Black Lives Matter mural in front of Trump Tower in New York City, getting utterly destroyed. And it's all happening as polls show a majority of whites are rejecting Black Lives Matter. You're not going to want to miss this. So make sure to click on the link, and I will see you over there. God bless.
All I remember you going on these different talk shows saying, this is going to crash, and people weren't listening to you. And they were like, oh, Peter Schiff doesn't know what he's talking about. And then it did crash, and then they listened to you. You're the only one that's saying it's going to crash again.
Well, they never really listened to me. They kind of tolerated me. Here's
they had to, because you were right.
The Fed blink in light of everything that's happening today, and we are off the lows of the session, but...
Yeah, well, Liz, I think regardless of what the Fed does on Wednesday,
answer
the next
my question
move
first.
After that is go. Yeah, I am. Regardless of what they do, the next thing they're going to do is cut rates. They're going back down to zero.
Real stimulus is going to be is QE4, which is going to be bigger than the first three rounds combined.
Wait, is that your prediction?
Oh, yes.
You say, okay, articulate it here.
Well, the Fed's going to go back to QE. I mean, they're going to do whatever they can to try to stop the bear market and to try to prevent the recession. But they are going to fail. They are going to make it worse this time.
On Fox Business, 2 days before the Fed's last rate hike. And I predicted at that time that that was the end of the cycle and that the very next
Despite
move...
Despite what Powell was saying and the hints that the Fed was...
Oh, yeah. I said the next move would be a cut and that then they would return to quantitative easing. Both of those predictions have come true.
Just created a massive amount of inflation. Quantitative easing is just a euphemism for inflation. That's what inflation is. Expanding the money supply, putting up money and buying government bonds is the definition of inflation. The Fed has been inflating like crazy. So to say that we see no dangers of inflation, why did he think the stock market went up? Why did the real estate market go up? Why did the bond market go up? Those are all prices. What made those prices rise? The inflation created by the central bank. I mean, they did that on purpose. So clearly inflation is a threat. And what's going to happen with inflation is the effects are going to move from the financial assets to the real economy, to food, to energy, to stuff like that. But the Fed doesn't see that.
What's your new prediction about the dollar?
Well, it's not really a new prediction, but maybe it's more timely. The dollar is not just going down, it is going to crash. You know, you mentioned the Dow being up, but priced in real money, gold and silver, the Dow is actually down. Encouraging our clients, and I would encourage everybody listening to Fox to get out of Dodge, like Gasparino was saying, but get out of Dodge with your portfolio and get out of dollar. You want to buy foreign stocks that derive their revenues outside the United States, so they don't earn U.S. dollars, they earn foreign currencies, and then they can return those appreciated foreign currencies to you in dividends so you can avoid the inflation tax. Forget about the payroll tax. The real tax that's going to clobber every American is inflation.
Welcome to the Dennis Prager Show.
As professor of epidemiology at Yale School of Public Health, this is in Newsweek. Harvey Risch, we're going to have him on. Professor of epidemiology, Yale School of Public Health. I have authored over 300 peer-reviewed publications and currently hold senior positions on the editorial boards of several leading journals. I am usually accustomed to advocating for positions within the mainstream of medicine. So I've been flummoxed to find that in the midst of a crisis, I am fighting for a treatment that the data fully support, but which, for reasons having nothing to do with a correct understanding of the science. Oh yeah, that's another left-wing thing. Follow the science. These liars. They don't follow the science. If they followed the science, they would have been pushing nuclear power. If they followed the science, they'd be pushing hydroxychloroquine and zinc. Having nothing to do with a correct understanding of the science had been pushed to the sidelines. As a result, listen to this, the most important line in his article. Tens of thousands of patients with COVID-19 are dying unnecessarily. We could open up the country, not with a vaccine, which is a very dubious prospect, very dubious. I have a little faith in a vaccine. I have great faith and a cure. Not for everybody. There's no such thing as a cure for everybody. But house tens of thousands. Fortunately, the situation can be reversed easily and quickly. I am referring, of course, to the medication hydroxychloroquine. By the way, a big pharma, which I have never used that term, but I now do, they can't stand hydroxychloroquine. What does it cost? 20 cents? A dollar? $10? It's nothing. But what is it? Remdesivir? Is that the name of it? $1,000 a shot. That's serious money. When this inexpensive oral medication is given very early in the course of illness, before the virus has had time to multiply beyond control, it has shown to be highly effective, especially when given in combination with the antibiotics azithromycin or doxycycline and the nutritional supplement zinc. On May 27th, I published an article in the American Journal of Epidemiology titled "Early Outpatient Treatment of Symptomatic High-Risk COVID-19 Patients That Should Be Ramped Up Immediately as Key to the Pandemic Crisis." That article, published in the world's leading epidemiology journal, analyzed five studies demonstrating clear-cut and significant benefits to treated patients, plus other very large studies that showed the medication safety. I myself know of two doctors who have saved the lives of hundreds of patients with these medications, but are now fighting state medical boards to save their licenses and reputations. You hear that? That's how poisoned medical boards have become because of leftists. They rather people die than allow something the president touted to be shown effective. I believe that as strongly as I believe that I'm talking to you now. That is how evil the left is. It wants to tear down a great country. Is that not evil? Is evil overstated? Does that mean that every single human being who supports the left is evil? There are some nice people who support evil. This is not unheard of, my friends. Sweet fools have done a lot of damage. Unbelievable. They're fighting state medical boards. The cases against them are completely without scientific merit. Since publication of my May 27th article, seven more studies have demonstrated similar benefits. In a lengthy follow-up letter published by the American Journal of Epidemiology, I discuss these seven studies and renew my call for the immediate early use of hydroxychloroquine in high-risk patients. These seven studies include an additional 400 high-risk patients treated by Dr. Vladimir Zelenko with zero deaths, four studies totaling almost 500 high-risk patients treated in nursing homes and clinics across the U.S., with no deaths, a controlled trial of more than 700 high-risk patients in Brazil with significantly reduced risk of hospitalization, and two deaths among 334 patients treated with hydroxychloroquine, and another study of 398 matched patients in France, along with significantly reduced hospitalization risk. Since my letter was published, even more doctors have reported to me their completely successful use. Beyond these studies of individual patients, we have seen what happens in large populations when these drugs are used. These have been natural experiments in the northern Brazil state of Pará. COVID-19 deaths were increasing exponentially. On April 6th, the public hospital network purchased 75,000 doses of azithromycin and 90,000 doses of hydroxychloroquine. Over the next few weeks, authorities began distributing these medications to infected individuals. Even though new cases continued to occur, on May 22, the death rate started to plummet and is now about one-eighth what it was at its peak. A reverse natural experiment happened in Switzerland. On May 27th, the Swiss national government banned outpatient use of hydroxychloroquine for COVID-19. Around June 10th, COVID-19 deaths increased fourfold and remained elevated. The Swiss government killed all those people. On June 11th, the Swiss government revoked the ban. And on June 23rd, the death rate reverted to what it had been beforehand. Thanks to the left, there are dead people in Switzerland. Only because of the left, not because of science. Because science has been deformed, as has baseball, football, and the arts and colleges. Why has hydroxychloroquine been disregarded? He gives three reasons. One, as we all know, the medication has become highly politicized. Two, the drug has not been used properly in many studies. I will explain. I will take your calls. And I'm trying to save your life. I have no other agenda. I want to remind you about flattenthefear.com. Flattenthefear.com. Reading to you from a leading epidemiologist, Yale University, on all the tests that have shown how successful hydroxychloroquine is. So he says, why has it been disregarded? First, because the medication has become highly politicized, meaning the left has poisoned the discussion. Second, the drug has not been used properly in many studies. Hydroxychloroquine has shown major success when used early in high-risk people, but as one would expect for an antiviral, much less success when used late in the disease course. Third, concerns have been raised by the FDA and others about risks of cardiac arrhythmia, especially when hydroxychloroquine is given in combination with azithromycin. But what the FDA did not announce is that these adverse events were generated from tens of millions of patients using hydroxychloroquine for long periods of time, often for the chronic treatment of lupus or rheumatoid arthritis. Even if the true rates of arrhythmia are tenfold higher than those reported, the harms would be minuscule compared to the mortality occurring right now in inadequately treated high-risk COVID-19 patients. This fact is proven by an Oxford University study of more than 320,000 older patients taking both hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin who had arrhythmia excess death rates. Are you ready? With all this arrhythmia talk, how many per 100,000 users did they have arrhythmia excess death rates? 9 out of 100,000. As I discuss in my May 27th paper, cited above. Dennis Prager here. Alex Berenson, whose terrific tweets. Florida again. People over 85, not 75, 85, make up 1 in 3 of COVID deaths statewide. 5 times as many deaths as everyone under 55. Put another way, if you're over 85, you have a 1 in 300 chance of dying of COVID in Florida in the last 5 months. If you're under 55, your chances of dying the last 5 months in Florida was 1 in 33,000. Under 55, even if you have underlying conditions, get it? Even if you start out with a weak heart or bad lungs, which is really the part that gets hit by COVID, 1 in 33,000. And for that, we're supposed to lock up states. I have a friend who owns a restaurant, and I think he's going out of business, and I just, I'm torn.
1 in 114.
1 in 114,000 Americans.
No.
That's it? One out of every 100? No, it doesn't make. I can't believe that.
Odds.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing. The odds of dying from a car crash is 1 in 114. No, it's too high. He's showing me his computer. All right. The odds, okay. Here are the odds of dying. The lifetime odds of dying. I get it. Heart disease, 1 in 7. I see. So where pedestrian incident. So this is a lifetime, though. This is just the last 5 months. So it's not fully fair. But it's 1 in 33,000 is pretty minimal. If somebody said to you, you know, listen, I want you to invest $10,000 in this thing, you have a 1 in 33,000 chance of making money. I don't think I'd do an investment. Do you? God, if we lived. So let's see. The average annual mortality in long-term care facilities. That's the one. That's 30 to 40%. All righty, everybody. Kevin in Long Beach, California. Hi, Dennis Prager.
Hi, Dennis. You've been a huge influence on my life since Religion Online back in the 80s. And I just want to say, as a public school teacher, I share your indictment of public schools. I want to echo Shapiro's point about human nature and why government power ought to be limited. I've really learned that if the kids don't understand the human nature part, they really can't move forward. I start every class I teach with the human nature question. Mm-hmm. And when I get to the Constitution, I sprinkle it with quotes from Madison and Jefferson, most notably Madison's quote that all people having power ought to be distrusted. And I just think conservatives need to do a better job just echoing this human nature issue in the school.
Well, you know, I have said,
most teachers don't even understand it.
Yes, I've said my whole life, as you know, that's why you're telling me this. The most important dividing question is, do you think people are basically good? If you think people, human nature is good, then you will entrust people with vast amounts of power. If you don't believe human nature is good, you want as small a government as possible.
And again, kids just don't see that. It's funny you said that, because I just wrote this down. I said, I honestly believe the culture wars can be reduced to those that understand the flawed nature of man.
That's
and
right.
And those believing man is infinitely malleable.
Bless you, my friend. It's a pleasure to know you teach. It doesn't matter. There's no connection between knowledge and wisdom or knowledge and decency. None. Zero. Nada. I've been saying that my whole life. People worship brains. They should worship character and common sense and wisdom. That's an amazing thing. What will be fascinating, you know what's going to happen? It'll be clear hydroxychloroquine works. When that happens, there will be total silence. Just as with the Russian collusion thing. It dropped. It died. The dominant issue of American life for 2 years ceased to be talked about when it was proven to be a gigantic lie. The left lies because truth is not a left-wing value. And that's it. So when the lie is caught, they don't say we lied, or they don't even say we were mistaken. They just move on to the next lie. The doctor has the audacity to bring in Trump to a patient? Isn't that astonishing? This arrogant fool that he is. This arrogant fool.
This drug, hydroxychloroquine, has been around since the 40s. Hundreds of millions of people have taken it. Tens of millions of Americans have taken it. It's extraordinarily cheap. It's now offered in generic form. And there are other pharmaceutical companies trying to come up with other, as you know, treatments, and are investing an enormous amount of money. And they don't really want this, you know, a hydroxychloroquine out there. The FDA has been bizarre. One time they said yes, another time they said no. Then we have sort of checkered surveys and tests that have been done and anecdotal information and so forth. And so there's a debate going on. Now, I must tell you, if I get this COVID-19, God forbid, and I have heart disease, I'm going to ask the doctors that treat me, including my heart doctor, can I take it? And they'll tell me yes or no. And this is quite typical. You have drugs that are approved by the FDA. I'll give you an example for Parkinson's disease that may be used to try and treat dementia. You have drugs that are approved for dementia that might be used to address cancer. You have cancer drugs that might be used to address diabetes. And doctors have to be free to make decisions they think will be best for their patient. What's happened with this particular drug, hydroxychloroquine, is it's been politicized. There's not a liberal in America, there's not a liberal newsroom in America, most of them, that will say, leave the doctors alone. They are licensed, they are certified. Some of them are top of the line. Some of them are top of the line professors at top of the line medical schools. Let them make decisions. This one drug has been politicized. Why? Because the President of the United States talks about it. And so yesterday, the American Frontline Doctors press conference was held where you had really many doctors, top of the line doctors from universities, serious practitioners, doctors that own numerous offices and so forth, arguing we must be free to use hydroxychloroquine, that it has worked for our patients, and that aspects of the federal government for some reason are trying to block this, that the media has gone nuts on this subject, and they're exactly right. And so what happened? Google, Twitter, and Facebook censored this video of their press conference. They blocked it. Now, why would they block it? Well, because we're not going to allow information about medical treatments and so forth that we don't believe are legitimate to be posted on our sites. What? Tell me, how many medical doctors do Twitter, Facebook, and Google have who review this information? So this is a legitimate point that these doctors want to raise, and they're being prevented from doing it. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do something different in today's show. I'm going to play the video, and I'm mostly going to keep my mouth shut. We're not going to allow these tech companies, for political reasons only, to block information that you should have and you can assess on your own, to block information that your own doctors have. You need to know what's going on. You need to know about this. And we need to have the courage to speak out when things become politically incorrect, when it can save lives,